This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is episode 383 for Tuesday, March 10th, 2015. It's 4 o'clock Tuesday afternoon, as usual, Central Daylight Time. And joining me at Central Daylight Time, good friend, co-host, podcasting partner these seven-some-odd years, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin Spriggs. I'm coming to you from balmy New Ulm, Minnesota, where the temperatures are above 60 degrees today. And yes, I'm excited.
You're warmer than we are, so that doesn't happen too often. That's nice. No. We can expect that coming our way. So spring is in the air. So let me ask you a question. You asked me a question last week.
Uh-oh.
Question free. I got a two-part question. First is, you know, we've been doing these productivity things probably throughout, you know, for the entire 7 years, and now we've got a whole book on it. You feel you're more productive now than you were 7 years ago?
That's hard, because it's not just a systems answer. It's the fact that I'm a lot more busy now than I was 7 years ago. So So as the productivity increased, so did the workload, I think,
right,
disproportionately.
And probably you're getting more stuff done. Right.
And the stress level goes up along with
that. Right.
So the productivity is important, more and more important as the workload.
That's the ministry in general. There's never a shortage of things to do. And as you figure out what you're supposed to be doing in God's kingdom, he presents those opportunities. And this show is just an example of that. So second part of the question, how many tabs do you have open today on your Chrome browser there?
I can't count them all,
but
that's a great question. I wonder how many you have open.
We had this discussion pre-show, and I have my normal one or two, which is probably about 60 less than you might have, is my guess.
I use a nice little Google Chrome extension called Tab Cloud, because I'm always afraid my Chrome browser is going to crash and I'm going to lose all my lovely tabs that I've worked so hard to open for the
show. We've talked about that.
So I have them backed up.
Tab Cloud? Is that...
Yes, we have, and I use it faithfully.
And that means that if all your tabs go away, when the browser restarts, you can bring those back up?
That's right. Wells Techers don't have to worry. My tabs are backed up.
All right, speaking of productivity, we are productivity-focused today, and we are in the next-to-last segment or series of shows that we're reviewing the book What's Best Next by Matt Perman, not just any run-of-the-mill productivity book. I think there's the benefit of us going through this book is that there's clearly a gospel or ministry focus to what he has to say, and that's what's made the conversation kind of interesting, and that's why I've appreciated the book.
Yeah, Matt frames everything in the fact that our to-do list is actually our way of serving God with our gifts and serving others through our gifts, and that does really shift the focus to exactly where it needs to be, and that gospel motivation just kind of rings through the whole book.
Yep.
And yeah.
His system uses the acronym DARE. He's not the first to do that, probably won't be the last, but there is kind of an irony to it, because this can be life-changing, and he's kind of daring us to take that challenge. The D and the A and the R were the last three shows. Remember the D, the A, and the R, Sally?
Quiz time. Define, architect, and reduce.
Yes.
I like the reduce one, where we get rid of work.
That was last time, yes.
Yep.
Now the E is execute, which means we actually have to do something. The system is great, and kind of the background and the motivation behind it is awesome to think about, but ultimately you go through this exercise, and one of the reasons we read the book was we have to figure out what to do next. how to execute. The opening quote he uses from the productivity, one of the productivity gurus that probably everybody is familiar with, Peter Drucker. And the quote he uses says, if there is any one secret of effectiveness, it is concentration. Effective executives do first things first, and they do one thing at a time. I think a very true statement.
And very hard to achieve, because yes, there are so many different priorities pulling on our time constantly. And I think as Christians, even with a Christian work ethic, with the desire to serve God to the best of our abilities, we really want to pay attention to everything that is being asked of us. And in order to do that well and efficiently, we need to think about things one thing at a time. But that's kind of against our nature.
Yep. And the other portion of that is doing the right thing at the right time. And that's the whole point of the book and the title, What's Best Next. One of the critical points that he makes in these chapters is this concept of a review. A review basically has you taking time to settle in, take a look at the landscape of all of your tasks and your life, and then do some planning. So he kind of gives us a three steps to review process that he suggests maybe you go through on a very regular basis. There is kind of a major review that is suggested in a lot of different books. GTD, Getting Things Done, also has this concept of a weekly review. The way Matt starts his review and the way he suggests other people do as well, and this makes sense in the context of the entire book, is pray and review your mission and vision. So we talked about mission and vision in Define, and then of course the prayer part is absolutely essential. He talks about, he references Proverbs 16:3, commit your way to the Lord and your plans will be established. So really you need to be front and center with God at that center, and then those plans are his plans anyway.
Just reminded me of this is my little paper planner that I use, and there's my mission and goals right there at the beginning of the planner, and I can easily reference it. I printed some of it, I wrote some of it, I have it here in front of me, so I can flip to it anytime I need a quick review of that. But
it'd
making
be a very
it part
dog-eared
of the paper.
Page according to this approach, and mine's digital. I keep it in OneNote, and it's one of the first pages that comes up in OneNote. Right next to my prayer list is my life tab, which I call it my life tab, and it has my vision, mission, and vision, and job descriptions, those kinds of things that's always before me. So that weekly task needs to start right there with David Allen would call perspective, taking that step back, looking at your life, asking that important question, you know, why am I here and what am I supposed to be doing with my life? And then you kind of narrow it down to what am I supposed to be doing this week? So the next step in the review, the second step of the three steps to a review, is define priorities for the week. And he talks about reflection, you know, just kind of thinking back over the course of the last couple weeks, thinking about your mission and visions. Review your project and action lists. Review your calendar. So you're just kind of doing a 360 review of everything that's going on around you, and taking a look at that calendar, taking a look at your task list, and just kind of getting a level of what's on the plate right now.
And, you know, again, I know we're totally different in this regard, but I use my paper planner and I have my week, and I do that look around by actually writing down my appointments out of my digital calendar onto my paper calendar. And there's something for me about writing it on paper, reinforcing it that way, that's how I start my every Monday morning. I go all through the week and I write down all my different appointments and dedicated time on projects and things like that. So,
yep. Which plays into the next and last section of this review. Organize your priorities in a way that makes them easy to do. Now, I don't know if that's as easy as it sounds, but certainly that pruning process that we talked about in the reduce phase comes in there. So what isn't a priority, or what pieces of those priorities can you skinny off? And then the prioritization process. So that's once you've got that whole landscape in front of you, you have to kind of pick. And I think that weekly review is a good time to either write down or highlight in some way what are the absolute must-dos this week. And those come from, you know, probably a good part from your calendar, at least if your calendar's like mine, you got meetings that you have to prepare for and want to contribute to. But then you also have some tasks that really need to kind of take front and center during that week, and hopefully they'll map to your mission and vision as well.
Yeah, for me, part of the process, you know, I kind of do have dual roles. I work for Synodon and I work for MLC. And so making it pretty on my paper is really important to me. And I do it, you know, in different colors and stuff. And it seems kind of silly, but I really do shift gears and think differently when I cross the line and think about MLC priorities, for instance. And so, you know, again, it's whatever works for you. I highlight certain things in certain ways. I mark things when they, you know, when you play volleying back and forth with people and it's in someone else's ballpark, I highlight that a different way. I have a whole system that I use to accomplish that weekly process. Once I've done my review and I have my list of goals for the week, then I work them with the system that I have.
Yep. And you make it a creative process. I think you're engaging both sides of the brain, and that suggests that you might remember it more, or it may be, I think, stuck in there a little bit deeper, and that's kind of the whole point, where kind of go on automatic at that point. So I think that's kind of the concept behind mind mapping too, where you're engaging left and right brain in the process. So great point. I think that a couple things that I took out of this section was he said even in this weekly review, that may be the time to do some of the little things, get some of the little things out of the way. I kind of vary that a little bit, and I kind of look for a down day of the week, which is actually when I do my weekly review on Friday. But I do some of those little things on Friday when I've got less energy. You know, I've been through a week. I'm looking forward to the weekend, and my brain is just not engaged or wouldn't do a real good job with some tougher tasks. So I look for some low-hanging fruit on Fridays especially. Now, if you're in a different situation or if you're in a ministry context, maybe that's when you're just starting to gear up for the weekend. Maybe Monday is that day where you're just dead from, you know, ministry over the weekend, and you need to kind of pick off some of those smaller things. But however it works, I think that's a good suggestion.
I think we're just destined to be polar opposites, Martin, because I've tried the Friday thing. And it seems like Friday's just another really intense work day for me. And I end up pushing off doing my weekly review to try and accomplish a few last things before the end of the week. And so, and I also feel like I'm sharper in the morning, which doesn't say a whole lot for the Wells Tech podcast, being it's at 4 o'clock after a long day of work. But hopefully I'm giving you my best here. Anyway, but Monday morning for me is the time to do the weekly review. It frames my whole week, and my brain is sharp. I'm eager to jump in and really think about what I need to accomplish for the week because I've had that break, you know. So I think it's going to vary person to person. I've tried it different ways, and that's what I'm finding works well for me.
Yeah. And that's going to vary on what kind of interruptions you get or the demands on your time. I find that Monday is kind of I need to talk to you Monday kind of thing, and that's when all the staff meetings are and such. But, yeah, again, it's going to vary from individual to individual. Mm-hmm. I think the point is you need that weekly review, that planning time. Don't skip planning is big capital letters throughout this book. You really need that time to think, and you really need to kind of write that into your own calendar, because if you don't, you'll go through the day or the week and wind up without that time, that thinking time, that planning time, and you're just as unprepared for the next week as you were for this week. So it really needs to be a part of a routine, and that was kind of the thing we talked about last week too, or last month too.
Definitely. Well, did that cover everything about the weekly planning? Or
I think that was his big points for weekly planning. He talks a little bit about email workflow, which I think is some of this is pulled from a lot of different sources, you know, trying to get to that inbox zero, you know, get your email to empty, which I've been able to do pretty much for the last few years following this approach. And there's just kind of rules of the road to do that. A couple of them are make sure you process things in order. Don't skip around. Just ride on through it. Do one at a time. Don't try and do multiples at a time. Just keep your concentration on the task at hand. Never put anything back in your inbox is one of his big rules, and that's something that comes from David Allen's stuff too. You really only want to deal with it once. You don't want to have it come back into your consciousness more than once. You know, deal with it when you're going to deal with it. So that suggests making that email triage process a task. So it's not just that you're dipping in and out of email, you know, throughout the day. You're making it a part of a, you know, a to-do list item where help check email or respond to email, those kinds of things. So those are the big ones.
Yep. I guess if, you know, you look at this whole process of executing against a plan, and you mentioned you've been working on Inbox Zero for years, my question for you, Martin, is are you good at this? Do you do it perfectly all the time? Does it always come together where you have time on Fridays for your weekly review? And
I was the one asking the questions.
No, this one's on you.
I don't know. I think I go on and off the wagon. It really depends on the ebb and flow of a week or month. If I'm traveling a lot, things get really screwed up, and that's a challenge. So I think that's definitely an aspect that I still need to work on. I do travel quite a bit, and that just kind of is really difficult to deal with. And you know, sometimes you just feel more like it than other times. And at the end of the day, you kind of have to pick and choose what the big hitters are for you, and kind of work through those elements that have the biggest impact, I guess, that make the biggest difference. There is no one system or one approach that's going to fit everybody. So these are developed over time, and like you have your little, you know, nuances to yours, and I do mine, and neither one of them are perfect. But I think the point is we try and you know, get as smart as we can about our workflows and try and be as good as stewards as possible and pray about it. And that's really critical. So
I think for me, even when I'm off the wagon and not having a perfect week as far as productivity, having that scaffolding in place, you know, still carries through to some extent. And then it makes it easy for me to get back on the wagon when life calms down a little bit. Yeah. So I still rely on those techniques, maybe not as deeply or as fully as I want to, you know, at times when things get a little crazy. But I think having that thought process going, it does help me and get back on the wagon when I can. So yeah. Sometimes it happens.
Technology has certainly helped having the access to the tools that we do, both free or otherwise, has helped a lot. I'd say the single most helpful thing that I have kind of stumbled on, and certainly this is an original thought, but this concept of a waiting for list, the ability to track what is now out of my hands that may come back into my hands, so that I'm not spending a lot of cycles trying to figure out where things are in the process. So putting these stakes in the ground, yeah, I sent this email and I need this information, or I'm hoping this person gets that done so I can do my next step. Those kind of things are what really makes projects so sluggish, when nobody kind of knows where they are and kind of not. And I think that's one of the big things that has really helped me, because we're all dealing with these projects along the way. And if you have to think about where you are in the process each time, boy, that really slows things down. So
it's a great tip. I picture volleying it to someone, you know, so I'm always volleying things different directions, and having a way to track that is a great idea.
Yep. So that's chapters, I don't know what chapters they are, Sally.
It's part six of the book.
Part six. There is only one part left, part seven. It's still not too late to join us if you've been kind of intrigued by the concept. It's a very good read. Some of the team members here in the Synod office are reading it and enjoying it and, you know, implementing things. And it's the kind of book where it's not just this bona fide end-to-end soup-to-nuts system that you have to follow. There's just little nuggets and modules and approaches that are worth the price of admission. Your time spent reading the book and the money you spent purchasing it. So give it a shot. That's What's Best Next from Matt.
That's the one.
What's the subtitle there?
How the Gospel Transforms the Way You Get Things Done.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, let's move along to ministry resources. I thought it was about time that we would maybe remind people that there are some easy ways to donate money to your favorite charities. If that happens to be the Synod, that's awesome. We've talked about these in the past, even had interviews with some folks from some of these places. Good Search. If you go to goodsearch.com, you can sign up and you can sign your organization up, or you can assign the Synod your beneficiary for all the searching you do. Everybody does searching, and basically you donate a penny to your charity of choice every time you search. This is a search engine that is based on Yahoo, which is actually based on Bing. So you're actually getting Bing results, and I've found that these are, you know, just as reliable in most cases. If I'm really stuck and really need to get, you know, a full-featured, you know, ins and out searches, I may sometimes go to Google, but by and large, I'd say 90-95% of the time, I'm fine with the search results I get on Good Search. It's really easy to set up with an account. You have to log in to get the credit, but and then at the top, it gives you a little running total of how much you have earned for your organization just by searching this week. So I just looked the other day, and I've really only been back on the Good Search bandwagon for about a month, and so far in the last 30 days, I've earned about $6 for Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, $6 that could be used for ministry. Good Shop is a sister organization to Good Search, and that allows you, if you go through their process, to purchase things that would rebate the Synod specific amount depending on the vendor. So a lot of vendors are there, Staples and Old Navy and all kinds of vendors that are out there. You can get promo codes and coupons, those kinds of things, and they all again go back to your charity of choice. And one fairly new one, which we're going to hear more about in Forward in Christ in an upcoming issue, is Amazon Smile. So if you do any Amazon shopping, you can go to, I believe it's smile.amazon.com, or just look up Amazon Smile, and you can get to, hang on just a minute here, you can get to a point where you can say who your beneficiary is. We just signed up the Synod about a month and a half ago. And then if you go through the Amazon Smile website, you can see which products qualify, which is a lot of them. In fact, I haven't found any so far that don't qualify that I've purchased on Amazon. And I do a lot of shopping on Amazon, especially around Christmas time, but throughout the year. And then a percentage of those purchases go back to the Synod. And I think that's a set percentage. Is it 1%? Something like that. But there is a percentage that goes back to Synod if you use Amazon Smile. You're using Amazon already, so you might as well use Amazon Smile. So,
yeah, it's just a little tricky. I'm glad you reminded me of this. And you can see I'm logged in on my account. It says, "Hi, Sally," in my browser. It says Amazon Smile up here in the upper left. And then in little letters right above there, it says supporting Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. So if I just go to Amazon and shop, I'm not there. Even though this is connected with my account, I need to go to smile.amazon.com and have the Amazon Smile logo up in the upper left to know that I'm benefiting the Synod with my shopping.
And then do your search from there.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's our little ministry resource, and certain organizations can get involved with that. I'm not sure if churches would qualify for Amazon Smile or not, because they need a 501c3 document, which our churches typically don't have. The Synod has that. But if your mileage may vary, you may want to try it if you want to sign up your organization or just support the Synod. So.
Very good.
Shall we move on to news and tech? And there's a big news for the fruit company.
Yeah, Apple had one of their famous announcement events this week. And Martin, you had the rundown. I found a great article that has all the different announcements that were part of that.
Yep, a new Apple, not a new Apple TV, a reduced price on the Apple TV. They're adding HBO Now that you can subscribe to if that's something that you're interested in. The bigger news was a new MacBook in different colors. Silver, space gray, and gold. Mac Pro, or the MacBook line, was discontinued. Remember that you had the black ones and the white ones, and those went away, and you just had the MacBook Pro and the MacBook Air. Those are now still, those are still there, but this is a new product line, and the thinnest MacBook ever. The last announcement, again, was they've got some expensive watches for sale pretty soon in April here, ranging from $350 to $17,000.
Wow.
Those of you that are inclined to get the rose gold and so on and so forth, making a fashion statement. So I think Apple's clearly showing that they are still a luxury brand. This isn't just for every man or every woman, but big news, and I'm sure they'll sell a lot of watches. You know, I'm kind of intrigued. I use an iPhone, and there's some things that health-wise that might be nice. It does track heart rate and those kinds of things, but we'll see.
Coming soon, folks. I'll make a prediction. You never know, but you can show off a new watch for us if you get one.
Yep. Shall we move on to our tips of the week?
We should.
And or picks of the week, I should say.
Martin, your microphone just kind of messed up for me.
Did it? Still?
Yep. Yes.
All right. I'll be right back. Keep going.
Okay. The first tip of the week is actually not mine and not Martin's. It's Pastor Rob Gunther's. And as much as he contributes to the show, I think he's worthy of having a tip of the week idea as well. It's something that he found helpful, and it's right here on our Wells Tech website. If you notice on the website, we have our live schedule posted. It's a Google Calendar, and there's a nice little icon underneath it for Google Calendar that'll allow you to add the Wells Tech podcast show schedule to your Google Calendar. And Rob wrote us a nice email about that. If I'm smart enough, I can make this mind map to reveal that. He says, I don't know why it took so long to do this, but I finally added the Wells Tech calendar to my Google Calendars. I thought it might be a good tip to share with your listeners and viewers. Just click the Google Calendar icon in the live schedule box on the right side of the page. Now he automatically sees not just when the show is on, but the topic ahead of time. So that's a great benefit to Wells Tech listeners. We'd certainly encourage you to incorporate our Google Calendar into yours. Thanks, Rob, for that.
Super. Thanks, Rob.
Now it's my official pick of the week, and it's an event that Google announced last week, or Google for Education announced last week. It's an online conference, basically. It's coming up May 8th and 9th. The price tag is free, so you can't complain about that. It's called Education on Air. And on Friday, they're going to be running the programs from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern. And they're going to have, you know, speaker setup. Topics will include creating student ownership, fostering innovation in schools, making technology work for learning, and communicating change. So appeal to all different types of people in school settings. Saturday is more free form, and it's going to vary. The times are going to be set up to be global times, so there'll be events happening all around the world in appropriate times for different areas of the world. And they're going to have certified trainers and Googlers leading 15 to 45 minute sessions helping shape the classroom today. So fostering collaboration with Google Docs, device deployment, empowering digital citizens, supporting literacy and early learners. Those are just a few of the topics that are going to be part of the conversation on Saturday. So even if you can't tune in, you know, it's during work time or whatever on Friday, perhaps on Saturday, you can tune in, and also the sessions will be archived. So they encourage you to come to the site, educationonairwithgoogle.com/live, and we'll have that link in the show notes. To get registered, even if you aren't able to attend the live events, you'll be in on their communication and you know, get notices of when things are archived and things like that. So be a part of Google for Education's Education on Air event May 8th and 9th.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. How's my audio now?
It sounds great, Martin.
Okay. My pick is very much related to our book review, and that is another book. You probably didn't know that Matt Perman wrote another book. This is an e-book based on kind of a takeoff, or not necessarily a sequel, but certainly related to his What's Best Next book, called How to Set Up Your Desk, A Guide to Fixing a Surprisingly Overlooked Productivity Problem. I believe this is only available in Kindle edition, so it's just an ebook for the paltry sum of $4.99. So you'll need a Kindle or a Kindle reader, and that's it could come on any mobile device these days. But I read this. It's only 80 pages long. It's a quick read, but excellently done. And he goes through a number of kind of basic principles or do's and don'ts, and then really talks about some optimized ways to kind of create this cockpit approach, which is what he calls it in the book, to enable you to have a workflow that uses space that you have effectively, whether that's a cube or an office desk or L-shaped desk or whatever your situation is, and how to set up file cabinets and file drawers, and how to eliminate distractions. He has a little section on creating whiteboards and just some of the tips and tricks he's used over the years to optimize this space that he sits in day after day. And that makes a lot of sense that we spend a little bit of time thinking about that, because it is a it's important to think about all the dimensions of our productivity, and why not think a little bit more seriously about where you spend a lot of your time, and that is at your desk. So worth the read. That is called How to Set Up Your Desk.
And did you make any major changes to your desk setup yet?
I have done a couple things based on this, and it's kind of the position, just kind of the position of different things, and eliminating some of the distractions that I had around, which were not really serving any purpose. So he talks about the only thing that should be on your desk are the things that you use every day, unless they are decorations. And so that was kind of job one. What do I not use every day? So things like tape dispensers and staplers, those kinds of things, and other knickknacks that really had no reason to be there because I didn't use them very often. So talks about the use of Post-it notes and notebooks, those kinds of things. And he would be in your camp, Sally, where he advocates for you know, a pencil and paper, having tools at the ready. You know, there must be something to that. So
I just need to write to him about colored pens, and he would be all over that too, I'm sure.
Okay. Maybe he has something, a solution for using that as well. But that is my pick of the week.
Awesome. Great tip. Great pick. We are going to talk a little bit about Wells Insider information, and this actually harkens back to our podcast last week, Martin, because we were fortunate to have a couple of ladies who blog over at Heart to Heart, part of the Forward in Christ blog, and there's going to be a webcast tonight at 8 p.m. Central Time for Heart to Heart blog, and Ann and Wendy, who were with us here on Wells Tech last week, will be part of that webcast, as well as another author. I'm thinking maybe Dan Namundson.
Namundson, who I believe has been on the show. So.
He has. And our friend Nicole Balza is going to be moderating the webcast. I expect it's going to be a great conversation. The focus will be on teaching your children about Jesus in your home and how different parents go about that in many different ways, and I'm sure it'll be worthy of your time if you have time to tune in. And if you miss the broadcast live, you can check out the archived broadcast as well, and we'll have a link to that in our show notes.
Very good. We couldn't go through a show without making sure everybody's aware of our Wells Tech conference coming up this summer, July 9th through the 11th. And that's going to be right here in Wisconsin at the Country Springs Hotel and Resort, just down the road from the Senate office here. Just wanted to remind everybody that there is a deadline for early bird pricing. $199 is that early bird pricing, and that will end April 1st. No fooling. So make sure you get your registration in if you want that $26 discount. So
yeah. Buy a lot of gas to get here with your $26 discount.
That's right. Wells.net/WellsTechConf. WellsTechConf. So we would really love to see you at this conference.
Excellent. All right. I think it's time then to jump into community feedback. And we have a great amount of feedback to share this week, starting with the BrokenLinkCheck.com website. Our friend Leslie Bergerman wrote to us and told us about the site. She says it's free for up to 3,000 pages of your website, which probably would cover most of our church and school websites. Fairly fast, Broken Link Checker. And she did it for their website. It took about 10 minutes to check their 622 pages on their website. That's a pretty big church website, I think. And it found 11 broken links. And broken links tell your site visitor that you haven't updated your site recently. So it's always good to check for those, and it's even better to have a system, a program check for them, rather than you having to go and manually click on all the links on your website. So great find, Leslie, and certainly worth adding to your webmaster toolkit for those of you that are out there managing church and school websites or personal websites, whatever it may be. It's nice to have tools like this at your disposal. Again, the link is brokenlinkcheck.com, and we'll have that in our show notes.
Great. Thank you, Leslie.
Next up, we heard from Pastor Rob Gunther with a few more goodies. He had a pick of the week, a tip of the week, whatever it was. He also shared a couple of other links. This one is a utility that you can download from the Digital Inspiration website. And what they've done is they've made a utility to keep any window visible always. And Rob was saying this would be useful in situations like we're in, Martin, where we're doing a Google Hangout, and the Hangout is open in a new window, and maybe it might get buried, and you aren't actually able to see what's being shared in the Google Hangout. So it's nice to just say, hey, make this window always stay on top of everything else. And so on this website, if you scroll down and do a little bit of the reading, there's a link then to download a zip file. Rob did it, said it worked well for him, and he was excited about that possibility. So He also shared a link to ODrive. And ODrive is apparently a new product. It's still in beta, but the idea is that it pulls together all your cloud storage in one location. So if you have a Dropbox and a Google Drive and other cloud storages, OneDrive or your Instagram account or whatever it may be, you can link all of those through your ODrive and have a one-stop shop to get access to all those accounts. And I can imagine that many people are struggling with the fact that cloud storage is parceled out to different locations. So this may be a solution worth investigating to kind of pull it together in one view.
Yep. I forget what the name of the product was, but there was something similar to this a while back, and I don't think it went anywhere. Gladinet is another one that I remember that is still around that does this kind of thing, but this seems to be a little bit more polished solution, and this is a way that you can leverage some of these free services and kind of bind them together and kind of get what you need and still not have the inconvenience of remembering, well, I put this over here and this over here and this over here. So nice find, and Rob is always good at finding those free, excellent resources. This is just another example of that. So, yep. Is it odrive.com?
The website I'm going to list is new.odrive.com and okay. How it works. And from the How It Works page, there are links to getting the product downloading the product. I believe you have to do a download, and all of it you can find here on this page. But I will make mention, Martin, that Google Drive is free and unlimited for Google Apps for Education schools and right. Google Apps nonprofit installations. We were just talking about this today here at MLC, and somebody said, is it true that it's free? Because I think the original limit had been, or the personal kind of Gmail account, Drive account limit is 30 gig, if I'm remembering right. correctly. But yeah, we went and checked our MLC accounts, and it said you're unlimited, you know. So that's just a really nice feature that you have with your Google Apps for Education accounts.
Cool.
All right.
Got some classroom suggestions from Jason, looks like.
That's right. Next up was quizzes. Why practice alone when you can do it together? This seems like something like Kahoots, where you can set up quizzes and then have students interact from different devices. They put in a game code and everybody takes the quiz at the same time. So maybe a competitor to Kahoots, which we talked about within the last month or two here on the podcast. Jason also linked to googlejr.com, a safe search for kids, not affiliated with Google. I'm kind of surprised they can actually use the name in their domain name, but the domain name is googlejr.com.
You can kind of mimic the logo with the different colored letters.
With the different colors and everything. Not the same font, though, but it says our mission is to simply provide a safe Google search for the innocent minds of our future generation. So check that out if you're looking for safe search for kids. And then finally he linked to this really cool resource site I'd never visited before, edsurge.com, and they have this EdTech Index with just oodles of links to different resources for all different slants. So they have it arranged by subject area. They have teacher tools listed. And, you know, for instance, if you're looking for grading and attendance, there's no less than 12 things linked here. Or curriculum platforms, there's 34. So a very robust list. School operations, post-secondary,
yes.
Everything else. What's in everything else? Apps for parents, apps for children, professional skills.
Wow.
Digital textbooks, and the list goes on and on. Oh, 58 in the games section. Maybe I'll come back and check that out. Anyway, thanks for the link to EdSurge, Jason. That looks like a very worthy website for us to be aware of. finally, a couple of links that I submitted to DIGO. One is for sightwords.com, free resources to teach your child to read. We actually had the vendor reach out to us, Martin, and encourage us to check out the site, and I did, and I'm quite impressed. They've got all kinds of tools for teaching young children, especially reading skills, flashcards, free downloads and things that you can do to begin to implement some reading training with your children. And then lastly, I tagged an article that I read in the Church Mag e-newsletter that I've signed up for. It's titled, Why I Am Giving Away Free Photos with Church Mag. And basically, one of their bloggers is designing and, or I shouldn't say designing, he's giving away his own free photo set. So he's taking these images with his own camera. They aren't from anywhere else, and he's giving them away, public domain rights on them, so no copyright restrictions whatsoever. But they do have the requirement that you come to their site and sign up for their e-newsletter. So I happen to already be signed up, so I got notification of this very first set that's available, and it was a set of photos with different types of signs. And it was interesting that the blogger is in Europe, so some of the signs are very European looking, but still very worthwhile, might be worth using on a blog post in the future or using for some kind of design you're working on. So free photos are a great commodity to gather, and I'd encourage you to check this out and consider perhaps subscribing to Church Mag. You won't be disappointed with their newsletters. They're super high quality and always have great resources they're sharing on their site. So, and you'll get this bonus of free photos as well. So,
very
no
nice.
Complaints there. And that's it for community feedback for this week.
Again, you can contribute to the community feedback section each and every week by going to our website, wellstech.wells.net, and adding a comment there, or clicking on any of the links in the upper right, which will get you to our social networks, Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, the listserv, all kinds of ways, or just send us an email, wellstech@wells.net, and that'll get to us as well. You can leave us a voicemail. Just many, 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 many ways to talk to us, and we wish you would, because it's great to share that stuff. And a lot of the stuff we've never heard of, which is kind of what makes this show go, is just sharing great resources that have ministry purpose. So please do join the conversation.
Martin, you're going to be busy this week?
I'm going to be busy this week. Why?
Talking with Steve Betcher. I interrupted
that
you.
That was your segue?
That was it.
Like, I'm not going to be busy next week. Right. No, later on this week I will be busy. Steve Betcher, one of our keynote speakers for the WellsTech Conference this summer, the man behind, or one of the men behind Wells Connection, and has done many a PBS special that I'm sure you've probably seen. He's going to be joining me here in the Wells studio here at CMM, Center for Mission and Ministry, and we're going to talk about what he's going to be talking about this summer. The talk he has entitled, The Media Owns Our Kids and Us. So we'll be talking about a subject that he knows very well, and that's media and how that's shaping our lives and the lives of our kids, and maybe how that can be used for gospel ministry. So come listen to Steve, a very engaging individual, and I'm sure you will enjoy that conversation. And Sally and I will chit-chat a little bit also about media and ministry next week. So come back and join us, and bring your friends. We would love to have them as well.
Speaking of media and ministry, our friends over at Bread for Beggars do a great job of identifying great media for ministry purposes, and that's actually how we found our video of the week. Martin, we're going to be featuring What is Lent? It's from Concordia Publishing House, and they've put together a really timely and well-done video that explains why we celebrate Lent and what meaning it has in the Christian life. And so you'll want to check out that video. We'll have it embedded on our show notes page, and we'll also add it to our presentation and teaching playlist, which will is a great resource for you to find those kind of things at the time you need them. They'll be filed away there for you.
Nice thing to link from your website, or maybe even embed there. I think Concordia would welcome that. Just a short little vignette on a different topic, and they've got a series of these. So what is Advent? I'm sure what is Easter? You know, those kinds of things. Exceedingly well done, quick, informational, just you know, probably something that would be appealing to a first-time visitor or somebody just kind of stumbling on your website saying, hey, what's this thing called Lent? So good resource there. Sally, I think we've run out of things to talk about, and that's good because we're just coming up on an hour, and we want to save a little bit for next week. So we'll call it a day, and thank all of our viewers and listeners for doing that, and hope that you'll come back next week. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.